Blog Talk Radio.
Great Friday, and welcome back to this awesome and amazing Friday, May 3rd, 2019. What an amazing day it is, not just because May is my birth month, but it is absolutely beautiful here in our studio office. We are in Atlanta, Georgia. We're actually 20 minutes east of Atlanta, and it is approximately 78 beautiful degrees. The birds are singing, the flowers are blooming, the grass is green, the air is crisp and clear. We are having an amazing, amazing first day of this weekend, and I want to welcome you back to Your Health is Your Wealth, and of course, it's your girl, Sister Kimberly Silas. As we do on every return episode, we start this platform with the highest level of energy and enthusiasm that the physical body can muster. So wherever you are, I petition you to get in a comfortable position and let it rip. We are going to affirm our highest and greatest calling. So if you're ready, I want you to clap. I want you to stomp your feet. I want you to whistle, sing, whatever brings you the most energy, because we will affirm. I will hear the words of the Holy Spirit within. I will lead and not follow. I will create and not destroy. I am a force for good. I defy the odds. I set new standards. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am the lender and not the borrower. I am the employer. I am loved by God. I am chosen by God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me in judgment shall be condemned. I am a champion. Everything I touch turns to gold. It is my season. It is my turn. I am humble. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am strong. I am whole. I am complete exactly as I am. I am a champion and will never be broke nor broken another day in my life. I will live the fullest of life and all that God has for me. I insist that my actions reflect a positive life, and I am confident that my future is bright. Why? Because my attitude is right. Must I say this one more time? I am confident that my future is bright because my attitude is right. So I want you to take all of that energy, you guys, and just sit in it for a minute and get excited about today, such as this. Now, moving on with the segment, the scheduled segment for the show today, you guys. May is nationally recognized as Mental Health Month. And here at Your Health is Your Wealth, we pride ourselves on a proactive consciousness. So we'll be addressing the theme that mental health is as common as a cold. We're going to passionately focus on the reoccurring and progressive aspects of mental health, along with effective and proactive measures to ensure continued success throughout our wellness journey. Now, before my callers start coming in today, I just want to, first of all, welcome you all back to the show. I greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate you guys. But when we say that mental health is as common as a cold, we get a lot of critique. We receive a lot of feedback because mental health is one of those taboo issues. Nobody wants to recognize that it could potentially be me. It could potentially be one of my loved ones, someone in my family. When we consider mental health, we consider it taboo because the first thing comes to mind is an out-of-body consciousness, a form of schizophrenia, a form of just aggressive disorder. And that is not at all what mental health means. And the reason that it is as common as a common cold is because it originates in the brain. Now, I want to share something with you guys. Now, how can mental illness be as common as a cold? This statement sounds extremely inaccurate and offensive to many. Now, we get it. However, according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, approximately 1 in 25 adults in the United States, that's 9.8 million people, experience a serious mental illness in a given year that substantially interferes with or limits their major life activities. Now, approximately 1 in 5 of these people are youth, that's 13 years old and below, experience severe mental illness disorders at some point during their lifetime. Now, these statistics are staggering and can lead us to ponder on greater issues surrounding preventive care rather than cure. Now, we focus on the severe mental illness. There is 1 in 25 adults. So what do the 24, where do the 24 out of the 25 fall? Not necessarily in severe mental illness, but we are impacted by mental illness issues. And this is what brings us to this realization. Now, according to the Mayo Clinic, in reference to the brain is made up of approximately 1 billion neurons. Neurons, the average person, we know nothing about this. But the brain is an organ as it controls the functions of the body, and it's sometimes referred to as the muscle thinking or the muscle brain throughout the body. The brain tells us what to do. It tells us when to blink, when to sneeze, when to breathe, when to eat, when to cry. The brain controls everything. But how often do any of us care for our brain? There are so many little tricks that we can do to strengthen the brains, but very few of us practice these regimens on a daily basis. We thought about crossword puzzles, word search games. Meditation, moments of quietness. We started one at the start of this call. We started with our affirmations. Affirmation is the best way to keep a rapid, vigorous consciousness of what's going on in your personal narrative, a personal critique of self. You can't always tell yourself negative things and expect positive outcomes. Okay. Let's move on with the mental health problems, symptoms, causes, and effect. Mental health can cover a broad range of disorders, but common characteristics is that they all affect a person's personality, your thought processes, or your social interactions. They can be difficult to clearly diagnose, unlike a physical illness. If I were to break my arm and I just could not get my arm to go back in position without extreme amounts of pain, no one would have to convince me that my arm was broken. Well, if you're going into a form of mental psychosis or a mental breakdown, the last thing we want to admit is that we are in a form of brokenness or a form of breakdown and that I need to go see a mental health professional. Very few of us would ever take that into consideration. Now, with that being said, you don't necessarily have to speak with a mental health professional in order to stay in great mental health. But we strongly suggest that you have a network of people who care about you, who are willing to be honest and open with you, and to share with you when things seem off pitch. Now, the opposite side of that is that we not necessarily jump to the defense if someone were to say, Kimberly, you're acting out of sorts today. I'm really concerned about you. Is there something that we need to discuss? A lot of times if someone were to come to you and say, hey, you are acting really weird, you're acting crazy, we would be highly offended, possibly combative, and we would attack the thought that I am acting outside of a healthy mental wellness regimen. So mental illness refers to a wide range of mental health conditions, disorders that affect your mood, your thinking, and your behavior. An example of mental illness can be as simple as depression or anxiety. We've all experienced depression. Sometimes the glass seems half empty. It's a form of pessimism. Now, what we did not mention, which I want to share with you in my research under the Mayo Clinic, where it says that the mind is referred to as a muscle in the body, and it is thinking as the brain actually tells your muscles what to do. Now, let's talk about 5 warning signs. Welcome to the show. We've got more callers coming on. Thank you so very much. Today we're discussing mental health is as common as a common cold. May is the nationally recognized Mental Health Month, and today we're covering issues as to where we can all maintain a healthy state of mental wellness. Now, I personally believe that we all go through seasons of mental breakdown, and it's just brought about by just the normal random occurrences, whether it be frustration, fatigue is one of the big ones, piling too many things on your plate. But it is characterized as either anger, moodiness, anxiety, social withdrawal and isolation. The biggest one is a lack of self-care or risky behaviors. Now, risky behaviors, people, isn't necessarily drinking or using drugs or being promiscuous. Risky behaviors could be road rage. Road rage is one of the biggest mental illness breakdowns known to man. It is where your frustration has peaked that you are willing to put not only yourself, but every other passenger on the highway in a risky state of recklessness because we are angry at a complete stranger. Hydration and wellness. When we do not hydrate the body, I'm not speaking on coffee or soft drinks or fruit drinks. I am speaking on natural water. The body is made of water. Therefore, we need to replenish and nourish the body with water on a regular basis. Now, these notes that I have taken on mental illness have come from the Mayo Clinic, and I've studied them on last year, and I brought it back forward on today, that one of the quickest ways to register into mental illness is to deprive the body of water. On this wellness journey, when I share my critique with people and I share my experiences with people, they often tell me, sister, I do not drink water. I don't like water. And that is like a red flag for me. Do you know what you're doing to the organs in the body when you do not drink water? It's cleansing. It's like giving your insides a shower and a cleansing. And when you have not been cleansing the toxins and impurities from the body, it registers in your cellular system. So if you're not drinking water, you could very well be acting antisocial, in isolation, periods of anxiety, periods of anger and moodiness, and it represents risky behavior and a lack of self-care. So as you can see, it's very easy to move into the consideration that we are all going to be challenged with addressing mental health issues and taking the accountability to know that we can address these states of hopelessness and helplessness by being proactive and being aware how important it is to take care of the body. Now, let's talk about 5 warning signs of mental health, and I want to move quickly into solution-based. Now, a change in personality, if someone is acting like a very different person or not acting or feeling like themselves, this is a warning sign. Uncharacteristic anxiety, anger, or moodiness, social withdrawal, not wanting to be around your favorite people and your most favorite environments. Sometimes we misdiagnose it as just ordinary fatigue or a sense of isolation. Now, I just spoke with my parents recently, just today, that I enjoy periods of isolation, but you have to be able to identify isolation from withdrawal. When you are completely withdrawing, sometimes it's an opportunity for you to replenish and rebuild your inner self. But if this has become the norm where you are more introvert than extrovert, where you cannot do people at all, that's not a good sign. And it may as well be some form of mental setback. Now, a lack of self-care or risky behaviors or a sense of hopelessness or feeling overwhelmed. Now, in the clinical profession, they call this HALT, H-A-L-T. The acronym is HALT, and it's never be too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired. Now, how many of us have been so absolutely hungry that our mood changes immediately? I know I have. I am not one that does hunger well at all, especially if I have scheduled a dining event and I am held up for hours waiting to eat. I get grumpy, I am short, I am curt, and I want what I want when I want it. So just be real mindful to stay on your diet and hydration. Now, anger, we spoke on anger when it comes to road rage. Road rage is one of the quickest ways I know to get somebody angry. Or if somebody were to just outright offend you, you can find yourself at a level of anger that has to be subdued through complete removal from the circumstances, whether it be a cussing fit or a hand or a foot stomping fit or whatever it is you're going through. When you are angry, you are angry. Loneliness is a big, big, big trigger. Some people like to be alone. I think it's healthy. I think spending time and learning to value time spent with yourself is an amazing opportunity to just replenish and refine and to meditate on your most deepest thoughts. But others may see time alone as a depressive state of consciousness. So we just want to be real mindful on loneliness. Being alone does not mean loneliness, but you got to focus on what does loneliness mean to you. And tired. We are tired 90% of the time, literally. Whether you have a regular 8 to 10 hour workday and you've got your regular household responsibilities, you've got outside social responsibilities, and you're trying to pack 26 hours into a 24 hour day, it can bring about great fatigue. And this consistently. Now, there are times when we're going to be busy, 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 busy. We may have a busy week. I am scheduled for the month of May to have an extremely busy month. But I know better than to carry out this behavior into June and July and August and September. You've got to know what your limit is. So you cannot consistently be on the go all the time without taking care of your wellness. You've got to concentrate on being a well person. Our lines are full today. Callers, if you want to chime in and share on your aspect, insight, or experience when it comes to mental health and wellness, please just touch one on your keypad and I'll bring you on in. And I think I have one of my favorite people on the line I'm bringing in on today, ending in 4326. Are you available?
Well, good evening or good afternoon, Kim. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Dr. Dunlap.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, I don't have a lot today, but I can just tell you that there are a lot of people that suffer from the aspects of mental health, whether they've been diagnosed or have not been diagnosed. And I think one of the things for ministry that is really, really important and really, really critical is that we as ministers and clergy and pastors, we take a very close eye on the condition of the people and look for those warning signs, look for those triggers. I worked in an institutional setting for several years, and one of the things we used to tell the rest of the staff was you have to be paying attention to the other folks, not just the individuals who are there in that institution, but also the individuals who are working with us, because there's pressures on both sides. And I want us to do better, not just during the holiday time period, you know, but we need to be paying attention. When did such and such's mother pass? When did such and such's father pass? Because when the holidays come around, when the first birthday that they have to spend alone, those things will rise up in individuals. And oftentimes it affects how people perform. It affects how people serve in their individual capacity. So that's my clarion call, Kim. I'm going to sit back and listen to the rest. But I want us as pastors and ministers and clergy to make sure that we have something going where we're paying attention to those triggers, because if we don't, then it becomes a bigger problem that we wind up having somebody sitting across our desk talking about certain things, or somebody else talking about another individual, and that's just too much extra work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Dunlap, and it's great to hear your voice. You know, you triggered something in me on last year. Dr. Zimmerman was stating that very same thing, but she also brought to the forefront that sometimes as leaders, if we are not conscious of everything that's going on in our lives, that we could necessarily be leading ourselves from a very hurt place. So it's important that when we are on these social media sites or we're in a form of ministry, that we take great deal of care in taking care of ourselves, because we could very well be from a previous childhood trauma or a season of neglect or opposition, that we be leading from a broken place. Oh, and that just really, really brought me back to the realization how important it is for me to take great, great, great care of myself when so many people are looking to me for support. So thank you so much, Dr. Dunlap. Do we have any other callers that would like to come on today? You just simply touch one on your keypad, and it will bring you to the main front. I have one here ending in 7342. Welcome to Your Health is Your Wealth. This is Sister Kimberly Silas, and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. This is Donna Tate, and I'm pleased Hello. I'm pleased to be able to tune in. I certainly will have it on my calendar to be more attentive to the time and days. I live with a person who has a mental challenge, and it is so important for us to be involved with our loved ones and our friends who may have a mental illness or some sort of traumatic event, because with the support, they can really be productive and well-rounded citizens and loved ones. Without the support, there can be devastating consequences. Now, one thing that I experienced that I want to share is, to the extent that all of us can be involved with going to a doctor's appointment at least occasionally, I think that is a good practice to have, because I found out in just talking with my son's doctor that he was being over-prescribed. And a lot of times the person that is taking the meds or experiencing some confusion won't have the state of mind to think to talk to the doctor along that level. So I do encourage that we do that. And one last comment One last comment. Every third Wednesday of the month at the Veterans Administration Hospital from 12 to 1:30, we have a meeting of the Veterans Mental Health Advocacy Council. It's not just centered around mental health, but certainly there's some good information there about veterans' benefits, and not just for them, but for their loved ones. So I encourage you to come out. 12 to 1:30, Hospital on Claremont, in the Veterans Learning Center, every third Wednesday. And that's my take.
Well, thank you so much. So that program every third Wednesday of the month from 12 to 1:30, that's for veterans and family members of veterans, correct?
Veterans, family members of veterans, people like you and myself and the others on the line who are interested in finding out the information so that they can help the community. So we have things other than mental illness information. We have how to navigate through VA to get the assistance that's needed, both for the veteran and their family, and anyone in the community, everyone in the community is invited to come and share.
Wow. Thank you so much, Mrs. Tate. You are a wealth of knowledge, and we appreciate you for coming on today and sharing that information with us. We were speaking callers with Mrs. Donna Tate, who is the director of CUI. CUI is the Community Unification Initiative, and she literally impacts households throughout DeKalb and Fulton County, impacts families one household at a time. And that's the CUI. I believe their website is cui.org. And we are wrapping up pretty much on our time today, but mental health is something that is impacting not just, as Mrs. Tate stated, not just to the individual. She mentioned on something that was very, very, very important. If a person is in a mental health crisis moment, they won't have the mental capacity to make rational decisions or even understand what their doctor is telling them. So accountability partners, people, are crucial. We need to be shadowing our loved ones, staying in tune. While we are in a healthy state of consciousness, we need to set someone up that we are willing. Oftentimes when you are filling out your medical paperwork, they'll ask you, who do we call in case of emergency? Who can we contact in a state of crisis? For me, it's my parents who are here in Georgia with us on today. Bless them, love them. We are having an amazing time. But my sister-in-law is the closest to me, whether it be a neighbor. If I were in a mental health crisis or a medical crisis, Mrs. Tate has power to help me through this situation. She's someone that I've known for years, and I am confident in her ability to make rational decisions. So people, it's really, really, really important that we understand what these accountability partners do for us. And when that question is presented to you, think about it. Who can they call in the event that I am in crisis? Fill that out. We often just put the closest family member that we can think of, but would that family member be in a position to make rational decisions and help you through a serious health crisis? But you guys, this has been an amazing segment, and we're going to touch back on this again on the 17th of May, right back at the same channel at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want to also touch base on Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap, who is the visionary behind this call. He spoke earlier about the accountability of clergy and ministry toward mental health, but Dr. Dunlap has a financial wellness and empowerment platform, PRF Institute, and he can be reached at prf.org, and he has a segment on the same channel every second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 12:30 p.m. So we are talking about your financial wellness and your empowerment, planning now so that you can relax later. Don't leave a legacy of debt and destruction for your family members. So with that being said, here at Your Health is Your Wealth, we believe in a proactive state of consciousness. We love and support the community, and we are so grateful and appreciative that everyone chose to come on today. Remember, this is Sister Kimberly, and I am absolutely crazy, crazy, crazy about you and madly in love with me. Make it an amazing month of May, and we'll meet back here again on the 17th at 2 p.m. Thank you, and make it an amazing day.